So I want to put before you yet another parable, more of a modern day parable, and see what you do with the connection between the two. D. Barry says, being one of the youngest of four girls, I usually sought Grandma Lou's to tend to Grandma Lou's needs at family gatherings. Lucinda May Hamish, Grandma Lou for short, was a tall twig of a woman with a long gray braid and sharp features. She was the undisputed master gardener of the family, for she had come of age in the Depression, where she learned to use everything twice, and when it was worn out, she used it again in her garden. When Grandma Lou visited, she brought packets of her own seeds, folded and placed in scraps of envelopes labeled with instructions. Her handwriting was precise and square. She gave each one of us a particular plant, usually tomatoes and marigolds and carrots for my sister, foolproof seeds, for they were impatient and neglectful gardeners. But for me, she saved the more fragile varieties. At the time of my next oldest sister's wedding, Grandma Lou was 84 and living alone, still weeding her large beds by herself. And as she had for my older sister's wedding, Grandma Lou gave Jenny a mason jar layered with seeds from her garden. Round and round, the colorful spirals of seeds curled in the flat mouth jar. Heavy beans in rich, deep earth tones made the bottom steady. Next came corn kernels polished by cheesecloth until they gleamed like gold. Flat seeds, cucumber, squash, watermelon filled up the reaches, interspersed with feathery dots of marigolds. At the very top, separated with cheesecloth, were the finer herb seeds of mint and basil. The jar was crowned with a gleaming brass lid and a cheerful ribbon. There were a lifetime of seeds pressed into the jar, a whole garden's worth for the new couple. 2 years later, Grandma Lou suffered a stroke, which forced her into an assisted living apartment. And though she was unable to attend my own wedding that year, I was delighted to see a mason jar bright among the brightly wrapped gifts at the reception. But unlike my predecessor's jar, my jar held no graceful pattern of seeds. Instead, it was this haphazard blend, as if the seeds had been dumped into a pillowcase and then poured into the mason jar. Even the lid seemed like an afterthought, for it was rusty and well used. Considering Grandma Lou's state of health, I felt blessed that she had remembered the gentle tradition at all. My groom, Mark, found work in the city and we moved there into a small apartment. A garden was all but impossible, so I consoled myself by placing the seed jar in our living room. There it stood as a promise to return to the garden. Grandma Lou died the year our twins were born. By the time our sons were toddlers, I had moved the seed jar to the top of the refrigerator where their curious little hands couldn't tip over my treasure. Eventually, we moved to a house, but there still wasn't room enough for a proper garden. Struggling yet courageous fescue grass vied for what little space there was between the dandelions, and it was all I could do to keep our yard mowed and occasionally watered. The boys grew up. Overnight, much like the weeds I continuously pulled, soon they were out on their own and Mark and I were looking at retirement. We spent our quiet evenings at home planning for a little place in the country where Mark could fish and I could have a proper garden. A year later, Mark was hit by a drunk driver, paralyzing him from the neck down. Our savings went to physical therapy, and Mark gained some weak mobility in his arms and hands, but the simple day-to-day necessity still required a nurse. Between the hospital visits and the financial worries, I was exhausted. I didn't know what to do. We couldn't afford a nurse, let alone full-time help, and assisted care living was out of our price range. Left to myself, I was so tired I didn't even bother to eat. But Jenny, my sister, who lived nearby, called and visited daily, forcing me to take a few bites of this or that. One night, she arrived with a big pan full of lasagna, and she chatted cheerfully as we sat down to our places. When she asked about Mark, I broke into tears, explaining how he'd be home soon and how tight our money was running. She offered her own modest savings and even offered to move in to help take care of him, but I knew Mark's pride would not allow it. I stared down at my plate, my appetite all but gone. In that quiet that fell between us, despair settled down to dinner like an old friend. Finally, I pulled myself together and I asked her to help me with the dishes. Jenny nodded and rose to put the leftover lasagna away. And as the refrigerator door flopped to a close, the seed jar on top rattled against the wall. Jenny turned around. "What's this?" she asked as she reached for the jar. Looking from the sink, I said, "Oh, that's just Grandma Lou's seed jar. We each got one as a wedding present, remember?" Jenny looked at me, and then she studied the jar. "You mean you never opened it?" she asked. "Never had a patch of soil good enough to plant a garden," I said. Jenny tucked the jar under one arm and grabbed my sudsy hand with the other and led me toward the dining room table. "Come on," she said excitedly. Well, when she finally, after three tries, got the jar lid opened, seeds went bouncing everywhere. "What are you doing?" I cried, scrambling to catch them. A pile of faded brown and tan seeds slid out amid an old yellow envelope. Jenny plucked it from the pile and handed it to me. "Open it," she said with a smile. Inside, I found five stock certificates, each for 100 shares. Reading the company's names, our eyes opened wide in recognition. "Do you have any idea what these are worth now?" she asked. I gathered a handful of seeds to my lips and then I said a silent prayer of thanks to Grandma Lou. She had been tending a garden for me all these years and had pressed a lifetime supply of love into that old mason jar. Grandma Lou, faithful servant that she was, took her talents, her shares that the Lord blessed her with, and she invested that seed money into the weddings of her granddaughters. And many years went by, and behold the joy, the ripe harvest, all those years later in her grateful granddaughter D, in the midst of a most difficult predicament of her life. Abundance. You know, Lord Bacon once said about money, and I think it can be relayed to all of our gifts, "Money is like manure, good for nothing in a heap, but it needs to be spread." When God gives talents, God means for them to be spread. Of course, the parables talk about the talent as an amount of money. And even in the case of one talent, it's an enormous sum. Some 15 years worth of wages for a laborer. Abundance God gives to each of us. Today, we're going to be receiving new members into this congregation. New members who have gifts. Gifts that are meant to be shared. You know, when God gives us gifts, well, you might think, well, that's what our new members bring to us, huh? No. Right? That's not what God produces. What God brings to us today in these five new members looks more like this. This is what God produces. This is what God brings to us to add to our already abundant lives. You and I are meant to share of our resources that God has been plenteous in granting to us. Our gifts are not meant to be hid under a bushel. They're not meant to be buried in some safe place while we tend exclusively to our own pleasures. They're not meant to be stunted by our fear of failure in taking risks or by false impressions about our Father in heaven's intentions. They're not to be left on the table to grow sour and waste away. That's not the generous economics that our Lord has in store. He wants us to spread our talents far and wide to the benefit of our neighbors. Today, Beverly, Faye, Rita, and Sylvia join the congregation at St. Thomas. God has already blessed them with abundant gifts. They aren't some scrappy cluster of grapes that God has sent us. They come bearing rich, abundant produce. Even those who think they don't have much to offer, well, that's just not the case. God has blessed us richly with their presence. And we abide in the one true vine together. And may we find joy in producing a harvest for our Master as we wait for His return, using all that we've been given to the benefit of our neighbors. In Jesus' name.